In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's the Sunday of the Last Judgment. It's also known as Meat Fair Sunday, the last Sunday that we eat meat until Pascha. But the real theme of this Sunday, the spiritual theme that the Church gives us to meditate on, is this theme of the Last Judgment. So we hear that gospel from Matthew chapter 25, and we hear all the hymns and Vespers and Orthros especially that talk about the terrible judgment, how our Lord will come and be seated upon a throne, and all of us will come before Him, and there will be a judgment. There's an icon of the Last Judgment. It's a version of an icon that's very common that you find throughout the Orthodox world. And we have this copy that was given to us. And if you look at that, you see scary things. You see, of course, the Lord enthroned up towards the top. And you see the saints, those who have already gone before and are enjoying the heavenly life. You also see a ladder, people trying to climb up that ladder. And you see demons trying to pick them off that ladder. You see a river of fire coming down the middle. What's that river of fire? It comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, where he says, "The Ancient of Days will come and will sit on his throne, and from his throne there will flow a river of fire, which will consume, will burn up the beast, evil. It will destroy and consume evil forever." So we have this river of fire that's portrayed in this icon. And then down towards the bottom, you see people who are suffering tortures. Ooh, it's not fun to look at, is it? So then we have to ask, what is this judgment? And who is this judge? And what is God's justice? How are we to understand these things? How are we to understand this river of fire and this torment that these people suffer? How do we think about these things as Christians? First thing that we should remember is what Saint Isaac the Syrian says. Yes, Scripture says that God is just. Yes, we say that God is just. And it's true that God is just. But in what way is He just? How do we understand that? It's not according to our understanding of justice, human justice. So St. Isaac the Syrian says, in fact, don't call God just. Don't call Him just. Because if He were just, He would hold your sins against you. But what does He do? He dies on the cross to take away those sins, to wash them from you. So don't call God just. That's what St. Isaac says. Unless you, by justice, what you mean is something very different. And so St. Paisios tells the story about the 10 peaches, which I can't help but tell you again. The 10 peaches, where you and I are sitting together at a table, let's say, and on the table there are this pile of 10 peaches. And I love peaches, and I know that you love peaches. And so we could say like this, we'll do this fairly, we'll be just, according to human justice. There are 10 peaches, there are two of us, 5 for me, 5 for you. It's fair and square. That's human justice. St. Paisios says, well, what's injustice? Injustice would be to say, I know you love peaches, but I don't care. I'm going to gobble them all up myself. That's injustice. But he says, now what's divine justice? Divine justice says, I know you love peaches, and I love you. Therefore, all the peaches are yours. And perhaps, if you like, you can share one of those peaches with me so that we can enjoy them together in communion with each other. That's divine justice, says St. Paisios. In other words, God's justice and His love are one. They're one thing. And so, what kind of a judge is this judge who sits on this judgment seat that we come before? Father Zacharias, the spiritual son of Elder Sophroni, the spiritual son of St. Siloan, says that God judges us, He examines us like a father who loves his children examines his children, tests them, you know, chastises them in order to teach them. And this is always the way it is with God. Always. Now and at the last judgment. He's a father who loves his children and wants his children to be with him forever in the kingdom of heaven. And what is this river of fire coming forth from his throne? It's the fire of his love. But that fire is a consuming fire which burns away impurity. It burns away sin. It burns away everything that prevents us from being what God wants us to be, which is like him. And so what is this judgment? The judgment is whether we are like him. Whether when God looks into us, he sees a reflection of him. Whether, in other words, our heart has become open to him. Whether we've put all of our hope and trust in him. Whether, since God is love, we've also become love. That's really the criterion. Have we become love? Have we become what God is? St. Peter of Damascus says that God is the same towards all, just like the sun. You see? He says, if you take a piece of beeswax and you take some mud and you put them in the sun, he says, is the sun different towards the beeswax and towards the mud? No. It's the same sun. The same heat, the same light, the same rays come to each. But he says, what happens to the beeswax? It becomes soft. What happens to the mud? It becomes hard. The difference is in us. The difference is in whether we love or don't love. Whether we love God or whether we push him away. Whether we love other people or whether we push them away. That's the difference. And so St. Peter is saying, and the Lord is saying, we must be like the beeswax. That when the rays of the sun come, we don't become hardened against it, hardened against people around us, but we become soft, malleable, so God can shape us and make us what we are to be, which is vessels for his grace, filled with his love. So St. Simeon the New Theologian says, it's not that we're judged for all the things that we have done, really. He says, really, what we're judged for is what we are, what we've become by God's grace, or what we've refused to become, because it's possible by God's grace for each of us to be filled with his love, to become softened by his fire, the fire of his love, and to reflect that love and to return it towards him and towards others. But if we've refused by our actions, by our way of life, if we've developed a disposition that's hardened against that love, then that's what judges us. So St. Simeon says, and a lot of times I think we get this wrong. It's like we can have this running tally of all the things that we've done, right? And I did this, and I did that, you know? And we think we're going to come before the Lord and we're going to be able to defend ourselves by saying, I did this and I did that and I did that and I did that. That's why St. Simeon is telling us, don't think like that. God will see into your heart and see the disposition of your heart. Is it a loving heart? Is it a humble heart? Is it a heart that puts all of its hope in him? Because that's what we have to do, put all of our hope in him. So if you recall, last Sunday we talked about the parable of the prodigal son. We told the story of the father who let his son go, the son who squandered everything that he received from the father, but then repented and came home. And the father received him. Didn't just receive him, he ran to him and threw his arms around him and made him his son, restored him to his sonship. But what about the elder brother? The elder brother tells us something about the last judgment. What happens with the elder brother? He sees how the father has forgiven the younger brother, and he's envious. He's envious. He starts to burn with hatred, with resentment. Why do you treat him like that when he's done everything wrong? And here I am, I've done everything right. He doesn't have love towards his younger brother. He can't see that this is a wonderful thing that he's repented. He can't rejoice. So what does the father say to him? And this is very important to notice what he says. Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. This is what the father says to the one who's rejecting him, because he's rejecting his love for the repentant sinner. You see, this is what we'll hear at the last judgment. My son, my daughter, all that I have is yours, for you are always with me. But what? But are you willing to come into the celebration? Are you willing to lay aside your ego? Are you willing to humble yourself and to put all your faith in me, your hope in me, rather than in yourself? Where was the elder brother's hope located? In himself. I've always done everything. You see? There was no humility. There was no sense, I don't deserve what I have, but I love you, Father, and please allow me to be with you. And my younger brother, thank God he was lost and now he's found, and let's rejoice. There was nothing like that in the elder brother. And that's the sad thing. But the Lord says to us, it was right that we should make merry and be glad, that we should rejoice, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. That reality of God's love for the prodigal, which is each of us, is enough, if we understand it, for us to rejoice nonstop every day for the rest of our life and for all of eternity. But it's up to us whether we will choose to accept that and to rejoice, or whether we will be bent out of shape because things are not the way we want them and we're frustrated with other people and they're irritating us, and on and on and on. And then we refuse to come into the celebration and we refuse the feast of rejoicing. Brothers and sisters, let's not make that choice. Let's not follow that example. Let's be a very different kind of elder brother. Let's be like the prodigal who knows that we are nothing without God's grace and comes running back to the Father, saying, Father, forgive me, constantly, and then entering back into the joy. This is the possibility for us, that every time we sin, be it 1,000 times a day, we come running back to the Father and say, Father, I've sinned, receive me back, restore me, make me whole again, make me new, give me that joy, give me that love. But it's up to us. So you see, God allows fire in our life. He allows the river of fire, even now, to come into our life so that we can be purified. And so when things are not going our way, when circumstances are not what we want, when they're feeling overwhelming, and we become angry at that, when the people around us are driving us crazy, when they're betraying us, when they're letting us down, when we feel that having to even to be with certain other people in our life is like a fire that burns us, and we're tempted to flee from that, let us say to ourselves, this is the river of the fire of God's love, which He has allowed to flow into my life. And let me not run away from my salvation, but let me embrace it and receive it so that I can be purified, so that everything that's not love within me can be burned away, so that I can become love, even as God is love, so that I might be ready to dwell with Him in the kingdom of heaven. Because the Father, in His mercy, If he sees that someone comes and that person cannot bear his love because that person has spent their life rejecting that love and their disposition is against that love, in his mercy, he will say, "My son, my daughter, I love you and I want you to dwell within my love. But because you're not able to bear that love, here is a little dark cave where you can dwell." It's God's mercy, you see, because we have to be able to bear his love. And in that little dark cave, you can be alone with yourself, but you know what? You will torture yourself. Will you not turn your heart to me and receive my love, even though it burns, and be purified by it, and be made new, so that you can dwell with me forever? This is what God says to us now, today. Today is the day of salvation, not at some point in the future. Today is the day on which we must come before this loving judge and be judged by him, which means to be loved by him and to be transformed by him. In one of the prayers before communion, we pray that this precious body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ would be for us a good defense before the dread judgment seat. What does that mean? That the Lord's body and blood would be our good defense before the dread judgment seat. It means that we've learned to put all of our hope in him, none of our hope in ourselves. We've despaired of every other way of salvation, and we only hope in Christ. And we throw ourselves upon that one hope. We hang everything on that and trust in him and ask that he would make us his own, that we might rejoice at the heavenly banquet with him and all of our brothers and sisters, all the children of our Heavenly Father, unto endless ages. Amen.